Number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11 is going to be another message in our series when it comes to the our theme for this year, by faith. Hebrews chapter number 11. I know Brother Barnhouse spent a number of messages during the missions conference in this chapter, and I told him I had been working on, you know, sermons out of Hebrews chapter number 11, and he comes and he preaches a lot out of there, so that way he took away some of my sermon thoughts and verses that are there, and he did a good job there, and we're thankful for that. By faith, we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 24 through 27 and look at a little bit about the story of Moses. There's a spot in here and there's a phrase in here that I think can help us tonight, and that's what we're going to dig in tonight, looking this, by faith, seeing him who is invisible. By faith, seeing him who is invisible. You see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, so now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's something we have not seen. It's something that we are believing and trusting is going to happen. We talked this morning about the place called hell, the reality of hell. By faith, we need to believe in that because we've never seen it. We've never experienced it. Some people said that they might be going through that here on this earth, but they don't really truly know what hell is going to be like when they say things like that. And it's by faith. It's something that we believe and we trust. It's not a blind faith. It's something that we allow our faith to be built up in us. And in Hebrews chapter number 11, Moses here in this character, he had a great opportunity to be possibly the next Pharaoh of one of the greatest nations, if not the most dominant nation of the time. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he was come to years, what does that mean? When he came to the spot where he had the opportunity to make decisions for himself, we know that this would be about the age of 40, but at this point in time, he had an opportunity. When he had come to years, he came to that moment of making a decision, was he going to be an Egyptian and line up with Egyptian gods, or was he going to be a Hebrew and line up where the Hebrews lined up with? This is by faith, Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't want that. He pushed that away, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had a choice. Am I going to enjoy this world and the sin that it has to offer, or am I going to have to choose to be one of God's people, even if it meant suffering affliction? It says in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. And you see this last phrase, as seeing him who is invisible. And I think this is obviously talking about God. He had faith and trust in God. Or we think that he actually saw God. No, he saw him that was invisible. And the Bible has told us in many different places, and one of my favorite promises that Jesus gives us is that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. We also know that one of his attributes is being omnipresent. So we know that God is always with us and God is always around us. So I believe when we look at this group of men and women that is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, this hall of faith that many people call it, they lived a life by faith, and I think that this reference that's made about Moses is probably something that could be said about many of these people. They believed in seeing that God was at work and God was part of their life, and they wanted to please the Lord with their life. I tell you, if someone is there, many times your decision is going to be different than if they were not there. You think about it, if there's a child there and they act a certain way around the parents, and then maybe when their parent is not around, they might act differently, might act a little crazier, might act a little bit more spontaneous. Sometimes a child might act better around other people. I have had people say to me, says, how come my kids always listen to you, but they never listen to me? I says, you should be thankful that they listen when you're not around, at least. So, but also you think about it, sometimes when your mate is there or your husband or your wife is there, you might act a little bit differently than when they're not there. You say, what is that? That's because of the relationship you have there. Maybe you don't want to embarrass them. Maybe you don't want to get in trouble. I don't know what the reasons are. Sometimes it goes with dieting. There are certain times you'll eat certain things around certain people because you know they don't mind. Other times when other people are around, then maybe they know you're on a diet. They're like, well, why aren't you eating that? You're not supposed to eat that. Now, see, it's important about who you're around and who you want to be. Now, I'm not talking about being fake. I'm not talking about being sincere. But if we can live our lives thinking that God is with us and that he sees everything we do, he knows everything we do, he even knows the thoughts and the motives why we do these things, it will change how we look at things. But the Bible is saying here Moses had a choice at the age of 40. He had the opportunity to make a choice. Am I going to stay in Egypt? And according to what tradition and history tell us, that he might even have the opportunity to become the next Pharaoh. So when we make the choice of saying, hey, I'm going to serve God and I'm not going to serve mammon, I'm not going to serve all these great riches. Moses had this choice. Moses had the opportunity to be the most powerful emperor that was at that point in time. At least he had this great kingdom that was available to him. It says the pleasures of sin for a season. It talks about the riches of Egypt. He had this great opportunity. He had to weigh out these choices and he had to say, what am I going to do? So there's three things that I think seeing he who is invisible will help us. If we live by faith and we live by faith believing that God is with us and that Jesus is with us. And if we believe that, seeing him who is invisible helps us make the right choices. If we live believing and trusting that God is with us, it will change the way we do things. There are certain times that we will not say certain words in front of other people, but we don't mind saying it around maybe the guys or around the girls. And sometimes when I go out to visit someone and if they're maybe smoking a cigarette or drinking something, alcohol, they'll come up to me and say, oh, I'm sorry, preacher, and they'll put it aside like I'm somebody that they're going to have to give an account to. And I've told more than one person in the past, don't be worried about me. Be worried about doing it in front of God because he sees all that you do. And if you will by faith see he who is invisible, we're not going to say some of the things that we say. We're not going to do some of the things that we do. If we say that God is here and seeing what we do, then it might change the way we talk to our mate. It might change the way that we obey our parents. It might change the things we listen to. It might change the things that we watch. Not because we're trying to hold some high and holy standard for everyone else to see, but instead we are worried about what God thinks. By faith, if we will see him who is invisible. Seeing him who is invisible helps us make the right choices. First thing I want you to see, if we see him who is invisible, it will help us make choices that last for eternity. And you see in the story here, Moses had a choice. It said in verse number 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He said, you know what? I'm standing before God and I'm seeing who is invisible and I see God, the creator of the universe, God, the one who's created me, and I need to make this choice. Am I going to have the pleasures of this world, or am I going to stand with God's people? And it's a choice that matters for eternity. Like we saw this morning in that story about the man who went to hell, we saw that there was one man who was rich and one man who lived and sumptuously and fared sumptuously every single day. He lived like a king, even greater than some kings. And he saw a poor beggar. But you saw after death, none of that really mattered. The king became the beggar and Lazarus, the one that came and was comforted. You know, what happens in this world is just temporarily. It says the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm not going to get up to you here and tonight and tell you that it's not going to be fun to sin sometimes, that it's not going to be enjoyable to sin. There is enjoyment in that. But when you see him who is invisible, you're going to be making decisions saying, I need to make decisions based off eternity. I don't need to make decisions based off what's going to be my comfort here and now and what's best for me here in this world, but not what's best for me later on. If I see God in this equation and I see God in what I'm trying to do, I'm going to make choices based off of what's going to happen for eternity. And it's sort of like the individual who refuses to get saved because they're worried about what their friend may think. You're not making a decision for eternity. You're making a mistake for today because eternity lasts for a long time. So how do we make these decisions? You, the pastor, you say that we should look with eternity in mind. We see him who is invisible. When we choose not to forgive and choose to cut off relationships where God can get the glory out of our lives, you know what? We're not choosing the decision of seeing him who is invisible, that there's a God there that can work situations out. When we complain and when we murmur and we don't have faith and we get up and stop doing the things that we're supposed to do, we're not seeing him who is invisible that has promises that he can take everything and work it together for good. The next thing, not only is it we can help makes us the right choices, it chooses that will last for eternity, with the sin for a season versus the reproach of Christ, but we also see the choices that may even cause suffering. Look what it says in verse number, once again, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction. When we see him who was invisible, when we see Christ even dying on that cross, the decision becomes much easier. That's why we see this verses, this song is near the cross. When I survey the wondrous cross, that's when we want to pour contempt on all our pride. Because when we see him and we see what he's done for me, you know what's going to happen? We're not going to mind suffering for him. We're going to come up and we're going to be like Joseph. Back in the Bible times, I love that story about Joseph. And Joseph went through a lot, but I'm glad that he allowed God to use him. He was propositioned by Potiphar's wife. And what did he say? He said he cannot do this sin against God. He saw him who was invisible. He didn't say, you know, God is up in heaven. God doesn't really care what I do. God doesn't really care what I say. God's the one that put me here. He gave me these circumstances. I'm going to go ahead and take part of this pleasure for a season. No, he makes the right choice because he saw him who was invisible. Had he ever seen God physically? Have he ever seen a manifestation of God and the fact that he saw God and his... No. But he says, I can't sin against God. Even if it meant that I had to go through suffering, even if it meant I had to be put in jail, even if it meant that I had to be accused of raping someone, he says, I choose to see God. I choose to see him who is invisible. And Moses in this story here, he has a choice to make. And on one side, it's the riches and it's sin and it's pleasure. And the other side is seeing him who is invisible. And he says, you know what? It is more important to believe and trust in God. It helps me make the right choices. Second thing, not only does seeing him who is invisible help us make the right choices, seeing him who is invisible helps us to continue. A lot of things I like about Moses' life. Maybe one of the men most used by God. Think about for those 40 years, traveling around with those 1 million to 2 million people and all the different miracles he got to experience, the 10 plagues. I mean, it wasn't easy for him. Believe me, after listening to people murmuring, complaining, many of us would have quit. Many of us, when God said, hey, I'll make a nation out of you, you'd be like, that's great, God. Let's get rid of them all. Can we start with this person and this person? No. He continued on. It's amazing. You sit there and you think all the challenges that he faced and for those 40 years out in that wilderness and in that desert-type place, he continued. Look what it says in verse 24. When he was come to years, at the age of 40, he thought he was going to be God's deliverer and he was going to do it his way and his time. He goes and kills the Egyptian and he runs away and he becomes that shepherd on the backside of the mountain for 40 years. At that time, God is preparing him, God is making him, God is molding him to be the leader he wants him to be. But you know, he's still out there and he's out away from the rest of his family. He's out there in fear a little bit of what the Egyptians could say or do to him. He was just there. Many of us would have given up. He continues. I know when God speaks to him in the bush, he's like, I can't do that. And God begins to tell him, look, I'll be with you. When God said, I'm going to be with you, and I know he still said, you know, I don't have that speech. Well, Moses was a man that was mighty in word and deed. It says in the book of Acts, when Stephen was giving his testimony, he was an Egyptian of the Egyptians. He was a prince, and he was the one that was most talented and probably had the best abilities. He was trained to be the next Pharaoh. Moses says, I can't do that. And God says, look, I'm going to go with you. I'll send Aaron. If you need some help, I'll send Aaron. We see that Moses still gets out there, and he does the work. You know what the difference, I think, was? He knew that God was going to be with him. There was more than once in the stories, if you go through and you read through the stories, there was one time that God says, hey, I'm not going to go with you. I'll send this part, but I'm not. He says, I'm not going without you. I'm not going to continue on in this life unless you're there leading us, unless you're there guiding us. Moses saw who was invisible, and it changed his life. And because he knew he was there, you know what he did? He continued on. He continue on reading this. It says in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What are we living for today? That reward. Sometimes some of us live towards a retirement where, and I don't think there's anything wrong with setting up a retirement. I think it's a biblical thing to plan for the future, especially when you're not going to be able to physically work like you like to, or maybe gives you an opportunity to serve like you didn't have the opportunity before when you were required to work many hours in a week. But is that what our goal is? Is that what we're working towards? Or is the reward that we're working towards is up in heaven? Because when we see him who is invisible, and we see the opportunities, and when we hear sermons, and we hear messages, and we see our resources, and we come to a missions conference, or when we come to a special project, or when we even come to opportunities that God has given me, we can overlook those, we can pass by them, or we can see him who is invisible and say, you know what, I care more about my reward up in heaven someday than my reward here on this world. Because in this story, it says he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of riches than the treasures in Egypt. He said, I'm going to compare the two. It's more valuable to get that reward from Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. Heaven's going to be wonderful. Heaven's going to be beautiful. Anyone who's there is going to be in a spot where they're going to be able to enjoy eternity. They're not going to be left out in the cold. They're not going to be, it's not going to be a bad spot. But the reward for those who see him who is invisible is that crown. That reward of seeing him who is invisible, and that I want to live my life to please God instead of trying to please myself, instead of trying to please my wife, instead of trying to please someone else, I'm going to live to please the Lord. We're looking for that well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's seeing him who's invisible, and we look at it and say, when I talk that way, am I pleasing God? When I talk that way, am I seeing him who is invisible, and he's going to be pleased with how I've said it and how I've done this? Or, like we learned about a few weeks ago when we read that, does the devil smile when we do certain things? I want to encourage you tonight to see him who is invisible, because it's going to help you continue. Take your Bible and probably have to flip over a page, but it's in the next chapter, chapter number 12. Chapter 12, verse number 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. What is it saying there? See him who is invisible. See him, what he did for you. Understand that if we look to him and keep our eyes focused on him and say, you know what, he does see what I do, he does care about what I do, he does hear what I say, and I'm going to live for him who is invisible instead of living for this day and time. That's what Moses did. Was Moses perfect? No. Did Moses make mistakes? Yes. They're recorded in the Bible. But we see the choices that he made in his life, some of the life-changing choices he made in his life, wasn't based off of getting the treasures of this world. Wasn't based off of the esteem that he would have had, but instead it's because he saw him who was invisible. He continued about, he considered the reward, and he says, the reward in heaven is greater than anything this world has to offer. Not only is seeing him who is invisible helps us make a right choice, but seeing him who is invisible will help us to continue. But lastly, seeing him who is invisible helps us not be afraid. I like this one. This is probably my favorite one of the three, because I think about when we're with certain people, sometimes we feel more comfortable and we don't feel as afraid. I can tell you, as a boy growing up, anytime I was with my dad, I was not afraid. My dad was a police officer. I thought he was like Superman. He had a gun. He carried a gun. Now I know the bad guys carry guns too, and that police officers, they're human beings, and sometimes they make mistakes, and my dad's not a really big guy, but back when I was a kid, my dad could beat up your dad. My dad could do anything, you know, but, you know, I was not afraid. And I lived in a part of town that wasn't the greatest, but I was never afraid because my dad was there. You know, when we see him who is invisible, who has promised to walk through these things with us, we don't have to be afraid. I love the stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they look at Nebuchadnezzar and says, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. And he says, we're not going to bow down because there is a God I stand before. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar, I stand before you, maybe king of this world, but when I stand before the King of God, I see who is invisible. And yes, your throne is here in this world, and this throne can go, come and go, but there's a throne up in heaven that has never changed and that will never change, and no one will ever unseat God off that. And I'm not caring as much about that throne here on this earth as I am caring about that throne up there, and I'm living for that throne I cannot see, because I trust and by faith believe and see him who is invisible. I will respect you here in this world because this is where your dominion is. But when you tell me to go against what my God says, I'm going to choose not to be afraid of what you can do to me. When the Bible says, you know, should we be afraid of the person who can kill the body, or should we be more fearful of the person that can kill the body and the soul forever in hell? I think about that story back in 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6 is a story about Elisha and Elisha's servant. If you want to take your Bibles, you can look at it. But if not, you can just listen to it. In verses 15 through 17, Elisha's servant wakes up. And when Elisha's servant wakes up, he looks all around. He's in the valley. He looks all around the mountain. And there's a bunch of the enemy's horses and chariots. And they've all come to take this one man, Elisha. Now, all the people that are there is Elisha and his servant. Elisha's servant comes in and he wakes Elisha up and he's afraid. Elisha says something like this. He says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. So they look up there in the mountains. They see all these people. And then he looks around the camp, and he doesn't see anybody. And he thinks Elisha's gone crazy. Well, see, in the story, he says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, and when the servant of the man God risen early and gone forth, behold, a host come past the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? He's afraid because of all the horses. He's afraid because of all the chariots. That's when Elisha said, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And then 2 Kings 6:17, the Bible says, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I love that story. And here's a couple of reasons why. I don't think that Elisha really saw the chariots of fire. He just knew that God was there. He saw him who was invisible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I don't think they would have ever thought that God would have delivered them in that way. I even heard a preacher preach one time that they don't think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego even saw Christ in that fire. They didn't need to see Christ. They knew that Christ was going to be there already. And that Nebuchadnezzar was the one that needed to see him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego already knew he was there. And Elisha, he didn't need to see it. He already believed and he already trusted that God was going to take care of him. The young man that needed the faith to see the chariots of fire and the chariots of horses, they need to see it. Christian, if we will believe in my faith, just as Moses did, make our decisions based off the fact that seeing him who is invisible, make their choices saying, I see God at work. I know that God is here. And I don't want to displease God. I want to please God with my life. And by faith, I choose to see him, even though he's invisible. When you consider the story of Moses and the great things that God allowed Moses to experience and be a part of, I think it came a lot out of this thought, seeing him who is invisible. And I think what will change many of our lives is if we will choose to see him who is invisible in our lives day by day. Him who is invisible that's there with us when we're watching the TV. Him who is invisible when he's there with us speaking to those friends that maybe don't talk like our church family talk. Him who is invisible when we get frustrated and angry and mad and want to respond in a way that would be unpleasing and disrespectful and in a way that our flesh would enjoy. But if by faith we see him who is invisible, we'll curve our tongue and say, God, I'm going to let you take care of it. By faith, when we're giving, we're going to say, Lord, I don't know how, but I'm going to let you take care of it. I'm going to make an investment into eternity instead of enjoying the things of this world. This evening, do you see him who is invisible? And we would all, it's just like that thing when it comes to hell. We all believe it's there. After church this morning, I was talking to somebody for a second or two, and I said, you know, if hell is real, and they said to me, I believe hell is real with all my heart. I said, if we truly live in that reality, by faith, You know what? It's going to change how we talk to people. It's going to change how we react. And if we live by faith, seeing him who is invisible, it's not going to be asking too much when God says, I want you to give up the pleasures of this world for a season to be able to suffer affliction for me and with me. He said, I want you to be willing to give up the greater riches of the treasures of this world to be able to have the recompense of the reward of heaven someday. I want you not to be afraid of what this world can do to you because you see me who is invisible and how I can take care of you. All throughout the Bible, all throughout this Hebrews chapter 11, you see men like Enoch, and you see men like Abel, and you see men like Abraham, and ladies like Sarah, who many times made their choices and decisions. Now, they weren't perfect, but they saw him who was invisible. They didn't receive the recompense of the reward here in this world, but they saw a future. They knew him who was invisible had made a promise, and they changed their lives, and they lived their lives according to what they knew was truth. That's what living by faith is. Will we ever see him who is invisible? Someday. Not in this world. Like Miss Karen sang about being excited or looking forward to that day. It won't be great not to have to deal with sin anymore. I think that's great. I think it's wonderful that our sin nature be gone. I don't have to deal with this body. I don't have to deal with this mind. I don't have to deal with the, praise the Lord. Someday we'll see him. But if we'll believe that he's here now, it's going to make a big difference in our lives. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.